Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Gorilla Technology Group First Half 2023 Earnings Conference Call. Currently, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. As a reminder, we are recording today's call. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, I will turn the call over to Mr. Scott McCabe, Managing Director of the Blue Shirt Group. Mr. McCabe, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's call to discuss Gorilla's first half 2023 financial results. We released the results after the U.S. market closed last night. The release is available on our website as well as from our Newswire services. With me on the call are Jay Shandon, our CEO and Chairman, and Daphne Wong, our CFO. Jay and Daphne will make prepared remarks, and we'll have a question and answer session. Those dialed in will have an opportunity to ask questions live. Those of you listening to the webcast, if you have a question, please email it to the Investor Relations dashboard at the gorilla-technology.com. We'll try to get through as many emailed questions as possible in the 1 hour allotted for the call. Before we get started, I would like to note that certain statements made during the conference call that are not historical facts, including those regarding our future plans, objectives, growth, and expected performance, including our outlook for the fiscal 23 and initial 2024 guidance, are forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. These forward-looking statements are our outlook only as the date of this call. While we believe any forward-looking statements we make are reasonable, actual results could differ materially because the statements are based on current expectations and are subject to risks and uncertainties. We do not undertake and expressly disclaim any obligation to update or alter our forward-looking statements, whether because of added information, future events, or otherwise. Further information on these and other factors that could affect the company's financial results are included in filings we make with the SEC from time to time, including the section titled Risk Factors in the company's Form 20-F, previously filed with the SEC. Additionally, unless otherwise stated, excluding revenue, all financial measures discussed in this call will be non-IFRS. A discussion of why we use non-IFRS financial measures and a reconciliation schedule showing IFRS versus non-IFRS results is currently available in our press release, which may be found on the Investor Relations website or on our Form 6K filed with the SEC yesterday. With that, let me now turn the call over to Jay Shandon. Jay?
Thank you very much, Scott. Hello, everybody. I am thrilled to be speaking with you all today. Innovation, I believe, is what drives every business and keeps us abreast of our competitors. With that in mind, we undertook a transformational journey, fathomed the challenges, exploited the opportunities in front of us, and drove towards success. Over the months, Gorilla has developed an outstanding technology platform with remarkably broad applicability. With this, we aim to capitalize on the foundation by extending Gorilla's international reach and expanding its ecosystem. We have also been building our global presence and have been collaborating with our diverse teams to enhance customers' capabilities and experience. In mid-2022, Gorilla was a small regional tech company specializing in video analytics. Our vision for Gorilla was far more. Post-merger, we began the process of building a world-class leadership team, moving our headquarters to London, expanding our sales presence around the world, and rationalizing our customer profile. We also expanded our product offering far beyond video analytics, building a leading capability in cybersecurity and smart city infrastructure. The process was sometimes painful, but has always been exciting. Now that we're seeing results, which I can only describe as spectacular, we look forward to delivering to you, our shareholders, continued success. Now, indeed, I mean, challenges are a natural part of any journey moving forward, especially when it looks at improvement and growth. While we've made meaningful progress, we recognize that there will be and there's work to be done to achieve stability in our operations, R&D, and customer success. As we delve into the financial results, I am thrilled to report that our efforts have yielded outstanding outcomes. We expect year-on-year growth in fiscal 2023 to be nearly 300% in constant currency. We are confident of achieving our revenue guidance of $65 million for the full year 2023. More importantly, our contract with the government of Egypt is orders of magnitude larger than the best year in the gold, you know, in the gold standard of Gorilla's 20-year history. This should help us yield over $58 million of revenue in the second half of 2023. Our company has also achieved a record-breaking year in terms of book sales, surpassing all expectations. Book sales of $272 million far exceeded the internal expectations and growth set at $41 million, which is roughly a 563% increase. This is a testament to the tireless effort of our leadership and our sales team, who have built strong relationships and demonstrated unwavering dedication to meeting our customers' needs. I would like to highlight another pain point over the past year, which has been the illegal and unethical manipulation of our stock. We do not make this accusation lightly. We have gathered overwhelming evidence that supports our view. 2 days ago, I issued a statement addressing the problem. Today, we will further discuss our effort to uncover and stop this activity. First, let's delve into the good news. We are confident into the foundational health and momentum in our business, with projects from Taiwan, Egypt, and the U.K., which serve as bedrock cornerstones for our growth. On July 6th, we announced this transformational contract with the government of Egypt, in which we will implement a smart government security convergence solution. This contract affirms our standing as a dependable global solutions provider, which is important because MENA region governments are actively seeking innovative partners to support their crucial transformation from conventional systems to digital technologies. Egypt is a notable stride in our globalization strategy and puts us on path to profitability by the end of 2024. This contract and other sales wins also give us outstanding visibility. The contract is worth more than $270 million spread over 3 years and is the largest customer win in Gorilla's history. Including other recent wins, which we have secured, that takes the total up to about $300 million worth of projects. The project in Egypt is incredibly complex, which highlights our sophistication and technical capability. The system we will build has several notable elements, including access control and identity management, interagency collaboration, cybersecurity measures, and lastly, the command and control center. To support Egypt and other projects, we are building a significant infrastructure. We have opened up new offices in Egypt and in India while rationalizing our workforce to improve efficiency. We're also seeking regional partners in MENA, Europe, Southeast Asia, and East Asia to facilitate project execution and explore our new business opportunities. We look forward to a long, enduring partnership with the government of Egypt. This deal is compelling evidence of the success of our evolution to become a leading security convergence IoT solutions provider that uses advanced AI video analytics to serve large customers. We expect many more opportunities to work with customers in MENA and around the world. The Egyptian project clearly establishes us as a leading global, trusted, predictable platform as a service provider. We believe that this is the beginning of our journey along a long growth curve. Finally, we wouldn't be here without employee empowerment. None of these achievements would be possible without our dedicated workforce. So I'm immensely proud of our employees whose passion, expertise, and unwavering dedication form the cornerstone of our success. As we celebrate these wins, let us also celebrate the talent and the commitment that make our company a truly exceptional place to work. As we move forward, we're well positioned to build upon this success. Our strategic roadmap remains centered on sustainable growth, innovation, and customer centricity. We will also continue to explore new avenues of expansion, enhance our operational efficiency, and invest in our people to drive excellence in everything we do. Now, having covered all the good news, let me circle back to elaborate on how we intend to eliminate and punish the illegal stock manipulation that has haunted us for the past year. Now, since we went public, it seemed that many huge moves in our share price were completely unrelated to any meaningful news. We have received a lot of complaints from shareholders, and many of you may have assumed we're doing nothing to investigate. Of course, that is far from the truth. But we could not discuss the investigation until we had gathered sufficient evidence to confirm or refute our suspicions. Well, the verdict is in, so as to speak. We hired an economic analysis firm with expertise in suspicious trading activity, and after several months of detailed work, they uncovered compelling evidence suggesting manipulation of our share price. Meanwhile, our own discussions with several of our shareholders also uncovered evidence of illegal attempts to extort below-market sales of our shares. We also found illegal attempts at collusion to take activist actions. In activist and so-called takeover situations, the SEC has extremely strict rules about how shareholders and traders can coordinate activity. We believe these rules were utterly flouted by bad actors we've identified. Today, we're putting the suspected bad actors on notice. We know what you've been doing. We will not sit still and allow you to attempt to destroy our company to enrich yourselves. We will vigorously employ all the tools at our disposal to stop you. I come from a very humble background, and for all of you who know me, I'm also very well aware what it takes to make a single dollar. My heart really aches when I see the erosion in value for our shareholders, both retail and institutional, and more importantly, our employees as well, and all the good people who believe in Gorilla to becoming a thriving success. I am going to repeat what I said. I also come from a humble background. And so when I see, you know, these unjustified attacks being perpetrated around us, I will stop at nothing and I will make sure Gorilla a thriving success. In closing, I extend my heartfelt gratitude to our shareholders for their trust, our employees for their dedication, and our customers for their unwavering support. The journey ahead holds exciting opportunities, and I'm confident that together we will continue to achieve new heights of success. I will pass over to Daphne, who will now provide more details on our first half results, the new 2023 outlook, and preliminary outlook for 2024. Daphne?
Thanks, Jay. And hello, everyone. The specific numbers of our results are available in our press release and filings, so our discussion will focus on the drivers of our performance. I won't reread the numbers to you. I'll start by discussing the first half results, then we'll move on to the outlook, which is quite exciting. Note that all figures refer to our first half 2023 results, unless I state otherwise, and all comparisons are to the similar year earlier period. The revenue decline was substantial but necessary as we refocus our business into the core technology offering, instill sound operating and financial discipline into our business. Jay referred to this when he discussed the massive transformation that we started last autumn. At that time, we decided to discontinue relationships that are not strategic or not profitable or require too much staffing. The quality of the customers we served in the first half was the best of our earlier larger customer base. We see evidence of success supporting the decision to walk away from unprofitable growth. Solid growth in security conversions demonstrates the wisdom of our product pivot, and the Egypt win shows that this segment can drive explosive growth in the years ahead. You can also see the better quality of customers and projects in our gross margin, which expanded by 1,600 basis points to nearly 50%. Our so-called spring cleaning effort, to use the term, yielded results in operating expenses as well. With our new focus on large deals like Egypt, we ran far lower sales and marketing expenses and lower R&D. Importantly, the lower R&D does not mean we're abandoning the function that is core to our success. A lot of our developer team was doing unproductive work with unattractive customers in the past. The customer house cleaning also resulted in a more streamlined and efficient R&D effort. In contrast, G&A expenses were higher. This reflects the cost of being a publicly traded company. The other major swing factor in the P&L was interest income, which exceeded financing costs and resulted in a net contribution to the bottom line. The higher interest income was a function of our larger cash balance post-merger. Now, speaking of cash, let's turn to the balance sheet. As we anticipated, given our cleanup strategy, we used a fair amount of cash in the first half. Nevertheless, we still have a healthy cash balance that can fund immediate operations. Now, having said that, our ramp-up with the Egypt project is extremely steep, so we'll need to externally fund working capital in the weeks ahead. Another major line item change was increase in intangible assets because of the IP acquisition from Sequester. Our debt stayed flat as the uptick in short-term borrowings mirrored the downtick in long-term. You see a similar phenomenon where accounts payable and other payables change offset each other. Warrant liabilities were down materially due to the revaluation caused by our lower stock price. Looking ahead, our new guidance reflects the Egypt contract, obviously. Based on the current project plan and revenue recognition practices, as well as other projects we expect to implement in the second half, we expect second half 2023 revenue of over $58 million. As such, we reiterate our 2023 full-year guidance of $65 million. Based on the high visibility from business, we provide initial revenue guidance for 2024 of $90 million. That concludes our 2023 updates and prepared remarks. We'll now turn the call over for Q&A. Operator?
We will now begin the question and answer session. We will first take questions from those dialed into the call. After that, your host, Scott McCabe, will go through any questions emailed in from the webcast audience. At this time, to ask a question, please press star 11 on your touchtone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, please press star 11 again. One moment while we compile the Q&A roster. One moment for our first question. Our first question will come from the line of Mike Latimore from Northland Capital Markets. Your line is open.
All right, thanks very much. Yeah, congrats on the big transformation here. Looks great.
Thanks, Mike.
You know, this big Egypt deal, you know, there's a lot of work to be done there. Can you just talk a little bit about some of the deliverables you have in the second half of this year?
Mike, in terms of the deliverables, obviously, in the second half of this year, first and foremost, we need to obviously start putting the POs regarding the equipment. The entire project is very complex, but, you know, we handle soup to nuts from you know, initiation to managing many subcontractors in the project, us being the overall project implementer in addition to providing the technology. So, you know, the focus in the next couple months is to finalize the project plans with all the subcontractors and put down the POs according to the project plan.
Yeah. If I may add to that as well, Mike, sorry, my apologies. Some reason the internet was not letting me talk. So in terms of next steps, immediate next steps, I'm actually sitting here in Cairo right now, and we are actively engaged with all of our vendors in closing up the contracts and placing our initial orders, both on the hardware and the software side. And the immediate next step deliverables would be to make sure that we have built our test labs, both in Taiwan and in Egypt. But more importantly, we also have to make sure that as we bring in the components, we're also building the data center in parallel so that, you know, we can house all these, the hardware and the software, which we are building across the world. And in terms of the long-term deliverables, by the end of this year, we are focused on delivering a piece of the milestone, which we have committed to the customer. And beginning of next year, going into December of next year, we would have completed about 60% of the project deliverable. And as you know, this is a national security infrastructure project. We have to go through a number of site acceptance tests before deployment, and that would continue over the next 12 to 16 months from January onwards.
Got it. Makes sense. How should we think about EBITDA here? Do you get EBITDA positive, you know, maybe in the fourth quarter this year, or is it sometime next year? Or how should we think about just the EBITDA?
Mike, obviously, everything is relevant, right? I think first and foremost, we need to make sure that we deliver on the top line, as well as deliver a very healthy gross profit and gross margin, while managing the operation very efficiently. So, you know, conservatively speaking, I think if we achieve 90 million in 2024 next year, by end of next year, we should be EBITDA break even or EBITDA positive.
Got it. Okay. I assume that means kind of gross margins improving by the second half of next year then, materially?
Yeah. I want to be conservative because, you know, as I just described, Jay is describing the overall technical scope, but I'm looking at the financing and the cash flow. The first part of the project is really kind of ordering hardware, equipment, and stuff. And, you know, obviously that part, we're not looking to make, a fat margin on it, right? So I would take a conservative approach. I think the 2024 gross margin, if we can hit somewhere around, 35%, I would consider it a very healthy margin because Egypt project, in reality, will be heavily. It will be a very heavy component of the revenue for next year, and beyond.
Yeah, very good. And then, I guess two other things. How are you factoring in the Taiwan deal to your guidance here? That looks like a good deal. And also, are you still planning on closing this acquisition? And what kind of revenue might that add?
Are you talking about Baker?
Yeah.
So sorry, Mike, again, I'm not able to hear you properly, but in terms of Taiwan, the win with the security agency, that would be divided over 3 years. We would, it's a 3-year project, roughly accounting for about $7 million a year. It's about $21 million. We've already started the project, just FYI. The proof of concept has already been built and confirmed at the beginning of this year. We went through the motions, and all we have to now do is start deployment. The deployment has already commenced as of the beginning of this month, and we are supposed to have our first deliverable ready by October, which we are on target for already.
Got it. And then Baycom, is that still in September close, I think?
Yes, we're looking to close Baycom by the end of September. We're in the final, diligence phase right now. Hopefully we should close, subject to all regulatory approvals from the local Thai authorities. Mm-hmm. We should end up closing them in September. And we're excited about it, obviously, because that adds a completely another element to our business, which is smart buildings and smart infrastructure.
Yeah. And a very basic question here, do you think you will hold a third quarter earnings call or will it be, half year earnings call?
Let me answer this. We will definitely follow the quarterly earnings sequence to provide investors more visibility, although we're not required, obviously, as a SPI, Mike.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Best of luck.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
Thank you. And once again, that's star one one for questions, star one one. One moment for our next question. Our next question will come from the line of Brett Knoblauch from Cantor Fitzgerald. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Congrats on the quarter. A couple questions on my end. I guess as you look at the back half of the year, is most of this revenue going to be caught from hardware? And what's gonna be the gross margin that you're expecting in the back half of the year, and how should we expect kind of revenue progress in the third quarter and the fourth quarter? You know, if it's $58 million in the back half, are we, you know, assuming kind of equal amounts? Is it gonna ramp from 3Q and be probably more heavily weighted in the 4Q?
Brett, I think what you mentioned was right. When I was answering Mike's question, you know, first order of this project, obviously, is ordering equipment, right? So I anticipate as we receive the equipment delivery on stages, we will see kind of lighter gross margin at the beginning phase or first, you know, 9 months of the project. And then, I anticipate the gross margin to improve over time.
Yep. And just to add to that as well, Brett, the way this deal or this project will be continued over the foreseeable future, let's say for the next 12 months-24 months, is that initially we're building the, what we call the foundational infrastructure, the data center, and so on and so forth. So there will be some level of hardware procurement, which will happen, and deployment, which will take place. And once we have completed that, our softwares will start kicking in, and then with that will absolutely fall on top of the existing hardware infrastructure, which will harden the network. And once we have confirmed that, then we will actually start building out the rest of the infrastructure across the country. So initially, it'll be based on the city, and then we'll deploy it across the country.
Got it. And then I guess the $58 million of revenue in the back half of the year, is that pretty much entirely coming from this contract? And I guess the same question for your 2024 guidance.
No.
Just between Egypt and Taiwan, that, you know, 3 years divided by 270, you're getting 90 plus 7 from Taiwan, we're getting 97 for next year. So I guess walk me through what's baked into that guidance, at least for 2024.
Sure.
All right. So, Brett, let me try to address this. First of all, yes, in terms of the heavily skewed Egypt portion, but for the second half of this year, remember that we also win a pretty large contract with one of our core customers in Taiwan. So $58 million of revenue estimated for the second half. There will be about, I would say, 15%-20% of that from Taiwan and elsewhere. So, you know, it's not entirely Egypt, obviously.
And then for next year?
Next year, you know, looking at from where we're looking at, remember, we're the team, as well as Jay, are still out there very actively, you know, talking new business elsewhere globally. But looking at this point from where I am, I would say next year will still be heavily skewed toward Egypt. Although, you know, I'm not kind of taking out the other equations of revenues and businesses. You know, hopefully we can announce and book elsewhere.
Yeah. Brett, I know your question's slightly more loaded. Let me kind of address some of those, you know, the hidden questions behind the question itself. In terms of, you know, where we are today, it is not just, we're not looking at this as a one-trick pony. We're not looking at addressing this as Egypt project plus the Taiwan project. We have built a very, very strong pipeline. Just to give you some, you know, some color on the numbers, We currently are pursuing 14, you know, mid to large deals. And we're four, out of which four of them are quite large, between $20 and $50 million, and about 10 large deals great with greater than 80% potential close rate between now and the next 18 months, between $1 and $10 million. So our pipeline, our solid pipeline today is about $300 million. That's excluding some of the much larger projects we're currently being quoted upon. Going into next year, I want to absolutely make sure that we're de-risking ourselves, not just from the project perspective, but also from a geographical standpoint as well. So if you looked at our statement previously and our vision, our focus today is on, you know, Southeast Asia and East Asia, including Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia, Taiwan, and the Middle East, North Africa, and the United Kingdom. Now, the reason why we are focused on this particular region or these regions specifically is that we're seeing a lot of infrastructure investment being presented to us. But more importantly, as these infrastructure investments grow, we're seeing technology go hand in hand. So what is exciting for us is that our pipeline build will only continue to grow stronger and stronger as we go into the next year. My aim is that when I go into next year, I want to have at least $350 to $400 million of pipeline with at least greater than 80% visibility on that as well. And we're also building our sales team. And as you can imagine, it's not just Jay trying to go out into the market and try and sell. We have a very strong sales team in the UK and in EMEA, headed by Will Addison and Andrew. But at the same time, we're also building our sales teams in Thailand, both through the acquisition and through organic growth. And we will have about five people in Thailand in sales and five in pre-sales. And in Taiwan, we currently are obviously recruiting a lot more, but we currently have a very strong team of five plus some account managers as well. So as we go into 24, our aim is to actually build not just on 24, but to secure 25 and to have clear visibility on 26. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, that definitely helped. Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking that the 2024 guidance seemed pretty de-risked just because the Egypt contract should be able to cover it more or less. OpEx from here. I guess where should we be expecting most of the expense growth? Should we be expecting that expense growth to occur, absent of you guys raising money in the capital markets, or do you only need that kind of funding for working capital to kind of help, execute on the Egypt contract?
For, Brad, just to give some background, the Egypt contract, literally all win went from about 20 million by the end of the last year. And just to, because of the customers' growing confidence in us, growing to us managing the entire project to $272 million. So as we speak, we do need to raise financing to front the upfront working capital requirement, meaning putting down the POs for the equipment. Mm-hmm. And that effort is ongoing. We expect to complete the raising, in the next month or so.
Perfect. Yep. Understood. I think that's all I have on my end. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you. And once again, as a reminder, that's *11 for questions, *11. One moment while we compile the Q&A roster. And seeing no more caller questions. Actually, we have one. And our next question will come from the line of Keith Stucker from Thurston Springer. Your line is open.
Yes. Hey, thank you. Great report. Thanks for all of the color that you've given. I think a lot of people were wanting to know the timing of the revenues and what the EBITDA looked like and all of that, and I think you've addressed that pretty well. But getting back to some of the capital structure. And, you know, given the nature of the SPAC, this tremendous overhang of stock that still is now out there that I think is looking to either reduce positions or whatever, it tends to weigh on any good news, and you can see selling coming in. Whether or not there's shorting that facilitates that or not is unknown. But one of the things I posed to you guys a little while back was, is there any chance you would consider either through, you know, a broker-dealer or whatever, offering the selling shareholders the ability to exit some of their position in a traditional market-related event that would get that overhang out of the way? And you could also maybe use it to facilitate if you're going to be doing a small capital raise as well. If something along those lines are in the works, and I don't know if you can comment on it or not, but I'd love to hear a little feedback on that.
Yeah, Keith, very good question. Yes, we do have this very specific IPO style, which is de-SPAC. And what you observed, I think your concern in general is something that we have been trying to manage ourselves, given that our, you know, pre-SPAC majority shareholders, pre-IPO majority shareholders shares have been unlocked back in mid-July. We have very good dialogues with some of the major shareholders and have been working with them in terms of making sure that there's a if. You know, for now, I trust that these shareholders we spoke to are confident in supporting and sticking with us. But if they have material need to unload their shares, there will be an orderly sell sequence in terms of not dumping in the marketplace. I hope that helps answer your concern and address your concern.
So in the near term, you're saying then that there's not a great deal of interest in providing liquidity for these guys. They're happy, and that perhaps we'll have a little better, you know, capital strength in the shareholders that are existing right now, which to me seems completely logical. I don't understand why somebody at these valuations would be thinking that, you know, they need to get out, but that's neither here nor there. Second question, if you don't mind, I would love to hear it right now going forward. What is the value proposition for your new business that you're generating? What is the number one thing that, say, for example, the Egypt contract or any of these contracts, what is their number one reason for them to be taking on these large projects? What are their goals in this Smart Cities initiative that you guys provide that value added that gives you a leg up on the competition? Thank you.
Jay, I'm not sure whether your line you can hear, if you want to address.
Sorry, Daphne, could you repeat that question? Because I seem to be having a lot of overhang and it seems to be echoing a lot on the side. Could you repeat that question for me, please?
So yeah, Keith, Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, Keith, let me give it a try. Jay's line is somewhat weak. Keith's question is, what is the value proposition for us in the Egypt project, especially in terms of what we can offer that enable us to win the Egypt project and more in terms of repeat business going forward? Keith, hopefully I interpret it right.
Yeah, to say that, what is the number one reason Egypt finds Gorilla attractive to solve what problem for Egypt? What is it that they're looking to solve in their Smart Cities initiative in terms of having this network of system in place? I'm just trying to get inside the head of the city planners of all these various cities where you guys are out there, you know, looking at new contracts. I just was curious, what is the lead item that you would be, you know, discussing with a city planner saying, hey, look, we've got this solution?
So what okay. We can offer, doesn't sound like Jay is able to hear very clearly.
No, let me respond. I think I've got a gist of it from the text. So, Keith, first of all, my apologies that I'm not able to hear you properly. I'm sitting here in Cairo. trying to connect to a Wi-Fi. I think it's the weak Wi-Fi, so my apologies for that. But in terms of why, it is not just Egypt. I'm going to give this response to you in a more broader context, okay? When I came in as CEO, and I still remember that day, it was 12th of September last year, my aim was to first make sure we were focused on three key important targets: productization, globalization, and customer satisfaction, okay? These were the three most important features of what we call the three-pronged approach which we had. That was going to be our secret sauce and mantra. In terms of productization, what we decided to do was we decided to look at the market and figure out we are providing bits and pieces. We're providing solutions on what we call singular requirements of customers. Why can't I? I have got a bunch of solutions. Why can't I address the entire value proposition for the customer? So we decided to build what is called as platform as a service. Now bear with me, Keith, because this is a long-winded response into your question about why Egypt. Now, when the customers started looking at us, they want to, when you look at a smart city project, there's typically between 15 to 20 vendors at any given point of time. So the customer finds it very difficult to have that one throat to choke, because when there is a problem, everybody puts their hands up. We became that one throat to choke. So when we went to a customer, we told them that we could give you the entire suite of solutions which we have, along with our partner solutions at the same time, which we can deploy and implement for the customer. That became your one throat to choke. And when the customer realized the value we could provide through our platform as a service, he basically looked at us and said, why can't you do my entire digital transformation story? And that was how the Egypt project actually evolved from being a $20 million project to a $270 plus million dollar project. It was not for our pretty faces, but they said, this is what it is. You can provide us value, not just in terms of your platform today, but in terms of what you can deliver over the next 5 to 10 years for the government. What value proposition do we bring? We're bringing the entire suite of our software services in terms of security convergence. Now, if you look at what we talked about previously in our previous statements and our website, we talk about securing the digital and operational footprint for the Egyptian government. We talk about increased visibility into their network activity. We're hardening their entire infrastructure and preventing any cyber attacks. But more importantly, we're also detecting and preventing malicious activity. This is what we brought together for the government and talked about security convergence. And this is quite important because this is what they're looking to grow and build into as a product suite across their entire government government infrastructure. And in terms of why Gorilla, I told you about product as a service, which is platform as a service. But more importantly, it was also about what we could do after. We built another platform for ourselves called Operations as a Service. We now want to make sure that we have predictable long-term revenue, not just a one-off built, operate, transfer model. So we created a new model for ourselves, built, operate, manage. So we build the solutions for the customer, we operate for the customer, and we also manage it, not just in terms of warranty and maintenance, but we also help the customer manage their operations, what we call as outsourced insource, within their premises so that they don't have to depend on expensive resources and training for the foreseeable future. We're eliminating the customer's pain points today so that we can build predictable revenue going forward. I hope that answers your question, Keith.
Yes, that was a great synopsis. I appreciate it. All right, I'm done. Thank you very much for the call.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you. And once again, that's *11 for any questions. One moment. All right, seeing no more caller questions, I'll turn the call over to Scott McCabe for any email questions. Scott?
Our investors are shy via email. No additional questions through that channel.
Okay.
All right. And thank you for attending. If you have any additional questions, please contact us via the investor emails, and we will get back to you right away. Have a great day. You may all now disconnect.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.